Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air here in New York. The aerials coming in right now from Fordham University. The protests, the NYPD now on the scene in riot gear. And new video tonight as the NYPD enters that hall at Columbia University to take it back. Tonight, those aerials coming in, the unfolding scene at Fordham. Across the country tonight, protesters by the hundreds arrested. New York City police clearing pro-Palestinian demonstrators, and they say outside agitators too, off the Columbia campus. Officers climbing through a window to remove protesters occupying Hamilton Hall, going room to room. Violent clashes breaking out among protest groups at UCLA and officers clashing with demonstrators at the University of Wisconsin. Also tonight, Hamas could answer at any moment whether this high-stakes ceasefire and hostage deal between Israel and Hamas will in fact move forward. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the region right now. Will there be a ceasefire? We have late reporting. In the U.S., reports of an active shooter outside a middle school, reports of a 14-year-old possibly armed with a rifle, the school locked down. Tonight, what police are now saying about that teen. We're tracking the new tornado threat and severe storms at this hour across multiple states. Ginger Z is here tonight. This evening, Florida's six-week abortion ban now in effect starting today. Donald Trump tonight defending states taking action on abortion. Vice President Kamala Harris in Florida tonight saying she and the president believe these decisions should be made by women, not the government. Harvey Weinstein back in court for the first time since his rape conviction was overturned in New York. Will there be a new trial? What was revealed today? The Robin Roberts exclusive here tonight with WNBA star Brittany Griner. Her first interview about her 10 months behind bars in Russia. What she revealed to Robin. Tonight, the investigation into boaters partying and then seen dumping trash into the Atlantic, right off the coast of Florida. What authorities are now saying about this. The passenger plane, the possible bird strike, and the emergency landing tonight, and reports of an earthquake in California.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. We begin tonight here with the breaking news. The images coming in right now. Among these crackdowns on campus protests, the NYPD now at the scene in riot gear at Fordham University as we come on tonight. We also have new images of the NYPD at Columbia University going into that hall through a second floor window to move those protesters who smashed their way in out. Those aerials tonight just coming in. This is Fordham University, NYPD officers in tactical gear confronting protesters. As we come on, we've just been told that Fordham has officially asked the NYPD to help. Now, this comes after those images last night as we were on the air in the West, scores of officers marching on Columbia's campus, some in riot gear using a ramp to enter Hamilton Hall through a second-story window. They say pro-Palestinian protesters, and they say some outside agitators were inside that hall. Chairs used as barricades, offices damaged, protesters' plans written on a classroom chalkboard. More than 100 people taken into custody at Columbia alone. Tonight, that tent encampment at Columbia, now gone. The NYPD has been asked to stay until May 17th there so that students can have their graduation. But again, tonight, the scene now unfolding at Fordham, the school asking the NYPD to help. ABC Stephanie Ramos leading us off again tonight.
Tonight, the NYPD releasing new video inside the raid at Columbia University. Officers in riot gear marching up that ramp to get into the second story of Hamilton Hall, then moving floor by floor in a massive show of force. Breaking open locked rooms with hammers, cutting their way through locked metal doors. Police taking more than 100 protesters into custody. At nearby City College,
this is the New York City Police Department.
Officers there moving in to break down tents and making arrests. Nearly 300 in all facing charges ranging from trespassing to criminal mischief to burglary. The NYPD taking down the Palestinian flag and putting the American flag back up. Today, the mayor defending the crackdown and blaming outside agitators for training and leading students who broke in and seized that building.
There is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it.
So far, neither police nor prosecutors are saying how many of those arrested were from outside the school. The White House today pressed on whether the president supported deploying the NYPD into schools.
They have the right to peacefully protest as long as it's within the law and that it's peaceful. Forcibly taking over a building is not peaceful. It's just not.
Tonight, with Columbia's lawn now cleared of tents for the first time in 2 weeks, pro-Palestinian protesters and professors slamming school administrators and the police response.
This is the conscience of a nation speaking through your kids, through young people who are risking their futures, who are risking suspension, expulsion, criminal arrest.
Tonight, new protests popping up in the city. Students at Fordham University setting up an encampment inside a building. Overnight, a disturbing turn at UCLA with an all-out brawl after counter-protesters tried to break down a pro-Palestinian encampment. Fistfights erupting, people hitting each other with wood and long sticks, using metal barricades as weapons. This is the moment someone threw a firework into the protest encampment. The violence unfolding for more than 2 hours before police and riot gear moved in. Governor Gavin Newsom saying the delayed response by law enforcement was unacceptable and demands answers. Tonight, as campus protests rage from Arizona to Wisconsin, there is mounting frustration on all sides.
There's just no valid points being made either side. Everyone's just yelling at each other.
And David, Fordham University now asking for the NYPD to intervene to help disperse crowds. Drones are flying overhead and police are on the scene. Back here at Columbia University, police are authorized to be on campus through May 17th. The graduation ceremony here moving forward, David.
Stephanie Ramos on this again tonight for us. Stephanie, thank you. Meantime, on this issue, we are told that Hamas could answer at any moment whether this high-stakes ceasefire and hostage deal between Israel and Hamas will move forward to get many of the remaining hostages out. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the region saying, quote, the time is now to accept the deal. Tom Sufi Burridge with late reporting coming in now from Tel Aviv.
Tonight, Hamas's response to that high-stakes U.S.-brokered ceasefire and hostage deal expected at any moment. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting face-to-face today with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, saying the time is now for Hamas to accept the offer.
There is no time for delay. There's no time for further haggling.
The initial phase of the Israeli offer includes a six-week pause in the fighting and the release of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for 33 hostages, including the injured. 23-year-old American-Israeli Hirsch Goldberg-Polin, seen here in this Hamas video, missing part of his left arm, blown off on October 7 by terrorists when he was captured. Blinken also meeting today with the family of 64-year-old American-Israeli hostage Keith Siegel. It's believed around 100 hostages are still being held in Gaza.
We will not rest until everyone, man, woman, soldier, civilian, young, old, is back home.
And tonight, the U.S. doubling down, warning Israel not to invade Rafah in southern Gaza, where more than 1 million Palestinians are taking refuge, saying peace in the region is at stake. But Netanyahu defiant, vowing Tuesday Israeli forces will go into Rafah to root out the remaining Hamas battalions, with or without a deal.
And David, we're just getting word. A Hamas leader says Hamas's position on the proposed ceasefire deal is negative, but they're still studying it and negotiations could still continue. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge with late reporting from Tel Aviv. Tom, thank you. Meantime, back here in the U.S. tonight, reports of an active shooter outside a middle school. Police say a 14-year-old possibly armed with a rifle. That school put on lockdown for a time and then authorities moving in on that teenager. ABC's Pierre Thomas with what we've learned so far on this Wisconsin case.
Tonight, the small community of Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, shaken after reports of an active shooter headed toward a middle school.
Reports of shots fired at the school.
Children and staff fleeing. The school put on lockdown. Sources telling ABC News shortly after noon, police encountered a 14-year-old with what appeared to be a rifle. Police racing to the scene. The gunman did not breach the school and was neutralized in a confrontation with officers.
There is one injury, it's going to be the suspect.
Images all too familiar. Today, nervous parents waiting. SWAT teams, emergency vehicles, and a dead body.
This has been a shock. I mean, so scary. It's devastating to hear what's going on, you know. I'm texting my son right now. He was barricaded in the classroom. They stopped that, but they're still locked down. I don't want no kid to go through what's going on, nor parents go through this.
Parents and police understandably shaken. The fear real, as mass shootings have become routine in this country, even at schools. No one forgetting Uvalde and many others like Parkland and Newtown.
Police did not release any information on the suspect, whose sources say is a juvenile. David, the town is traumatized tonight, but grateful no one else was injured.
We are too, Pierre Thomas, tonight. Pierre, thank you. We are tracking the potential for more tornadoes tonight, severe storms on the move. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee, tracking it all again for us tonight. Ginger?
David, at least one tornado already ripping across the panhandle of Texas tonight, and it's going to be a long couple of hours, even into the overnight. So let me go ahead and show you. The tornado watch right now includes Dodge City, Kansas, down to Lubbock. But the severe thunderstorm watch for damaging winds goes to the Mexican border. Waco, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and Alexandria, Louisiana could see a widespread 3 to 5 inches and up to 9 inches locally. You will see flash flood problems with that. These go late into the night. You can see the clock stops at 11 there, and then they'll keep chugging east. Tomorrow, we destabilize the atmosphere again and give that same area, including Abilene, a risk of damaging wind. But David, as remarkable as April was, second most tornadoes we've seen since records began in 1950 for the month, May is the one to watch. Climatologically, that's where we see the most tornadoes.
Yeah, May is often much worse. Ginger Zee with us tonight. Ginger, thank you. Now to Florida, where this evening that state's six-week abortion ban has taken effect. Tonight, Donald Trump defending states that have taken their own action on abortion rights. Vice President Kamala Harris in Florida saying she and President Biden believe these decisions should be made by women and not the government. Here's Rachel Scott.
After spending Tuesday stuck in a Manhattan courtroom, tonight Donald Trump parachuting into key battlegrounds Wisconsin and Michigan before he has to fly right back to New York, where his criminal trial resumes tomorrow. In Waukesha today, Trump veering off teleprompter to defend himself on an issue that could decide the election. Abortion.
Basically, the states decide on abortion, and people are absolutely thrilled with the way that's going on.
Just this week, Trump telling Time magazine he won't object if states monitor pregnant women to make sure they comply with abortion bans and prosecute women who violate them. Today, he doubled down.
Now I say it's up to the state. They'll ask me a question about it. I say that's up to the state. So I say to you, I think we did a very good job in that. A lot of people are very happy with it.
Today, Vice President Kamala Harris firing back in Florida, where the state's new abortion law just went into effect, banning abortion at 6 weeks, before most women even know they are pregnant.
Basically, under Donald Trump, it would be fair game for women to be monitored and punished by the government, whereas Joe Biden and I have a different view. We believe the government should never come between a woman and her doctor.
Florida's near total ban means abortion access is now largely cut off across the entire South.
As of this morning, 4 million women in this state woke up with fewer reproductive freedoms than they had last night. This is the new reality under a Trump abortion ban.
You have to have heart.
David, the Biden campaign is counting on abortion rights to galvanize voters this November. Both campaigns keenly aware that this issue could be on the ballot in as many as 13 states, including several key battlegrounds, and that abortion rights has won every single time it has appeared on the ballot. David.
Both campaigns know this, and you're right there live at a Trump event in Michigan tonight at this hour. Rachel, thank you. Tonight on the issue of abortion rights, the Arizona State Senate has also approved to repeal that Civil War era abortion ban passed in 1864. Two Republicans today voting with the Democrats 1 week after the Arizona House approved the repeal. Tonight, Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs says she will sign the repeal tomorrow into law, but the repeal won't take effect until sometime in the fall unless a court intervenes now. Tonight in New York, disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein was back in court for the first time since an appeals court overturned his 2020 rape conviction. Weinstein arriving in a wheelchair. We learned today Weinstein is now set to be retried on sex assault charges sometime after Labor Day. He does remain in custody. His legal team also appealing a separate conviction in Los Angeles. We turn now to an ABC News exclusive. Robin Roberts one-on-one with WNBA star Brittany Griner, speaking out for the first time about her 10 months behind bars in Russia and the mistake that changed her life. What she revealed to Robin.
At the Moscow airport, this is Russian customs service footage of Brittany Griner putting her carry-on bags through the scanner, unaware that life as she knows it is about to end, as the agent tells her to search her backpack.
So you reached down because you've been told to go through your bag.
Yep.
And you felt?
Felt the cartridge.
Cartridge.
And I'm just like, oh my God, how did I make this mistake?
Did they ask you what was in it?
They asked, I looked at them, I was just like, I don't know. I was just like, CBD.
But it wasn't CBD. Russian authorities determined that between the two cartridges is actually 0.7 grams of cannabis oil containing THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana.
Do you know there are those who say, come on, how did you not know that you had cartridges in your luggage? What do you say to the skeptics?
I would say, have you ever forgot your keys in your car, left your car running? Have you ever, where's my glasses? They're on top of your head.
When did you realize that I'm being detained?
The moment they took my passport and they took my boarding pass.
134 days into her detainment, Brittany Griner goes on trial in Khimki, Russia.
I had no intent to break any Russian laws. I made an honest mistake, and I hope that in your ruling that it doesn't end my life here.
You plead guilty.
Yes.
What was the thought process with that?
I understand what I did was a mistake and it was an accident, but at the same time, it happened.
She is sentenced to 9 years of hard labor.
Yes.
What were the conditions like there?
Really cold. It's a work camp. You go there to work. There's no rest.
Then in December 2022, Brittany finally gets the news. There will be a prisoner exchange.
You are told you're heading home, that it's happening.
I was thrilled. Like, I'm happy. I'm just like, oh my God, like, when?
Our thanks to Robin and to Brittany Griner for sitting down with us. Her new book is Coming Home, set to be published next Tuesday, and much more of Robin's exclusive interview, a special 2020 Tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on ABC. And then streaming on Hulu. Our thanks to Robin again. One more note on the economy tonight. The Federal Reserve leaving interest rates unchanged, citing lack of progress in bringing inflation down to its 2% target. But Fed Chief Jerome Powell did ease some fears today, saying that any interest rate hike is unlikely. When we come back here tonight, we're getting word of a passenger plane reporting a possible bird strike forced to make an emergency landing. There's also been an earthquake that hit Southern California. And those young boaters seen partying and then dumping trash right into the ocean off Florida. And what authorities are now saying tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, an American Eagle flight declaring an emergency following a possible bird strike during a flight from Washington, D.C. to Key West. The pilot reporting the strike while taking off from Reagan National Airport. 69 passengers on board, the flight diverting to Baltimore. No one was hurt. Tonight, there's word of a moderate earthquake hitting Southern California, the magnitude 4.1 quake centered near Corona in Riverside County, roughly 50 miles outside L.A., felt more than 130 miles away. No reports of injuries or significant damage.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, the video sparking outrage, appearing to show a group of young voters dumping trash into the Atlantic off Boca Raton, Florida. Authorities have now identified the voters, allegedly throwing two garbage cans full of trash. You see it there. Expected to face multiple charges.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
Finally tonight here, America Strong, an entire community looking for Jack. In Sulphur, Oklahoma, south of Oklahoma City tonight, the remarkable rescue after the tornadoes. Peyton McClure and her family searching for their dog, two-year-old Jack, an Aussie Corgi mix. Peyton's grandparents' home was destroyed. The family survived, but Jack was lost. Neighbors and family searching through the rubble, and then the moment they see him, Jack is okay. Right here tonight.
Good evening, David. It's Peyton and Jack.
Peyton and Jack back together.
People were helping me find Jack that I didn't even know. So I'm just thankful to be a part of this community and thankful for everything that they've done.
We're so glad Jack's home. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.